Wow. It is so great to see you, to be here. Thank you all for coming. I'm so excited to just share. I have a short, brief little word to share with you before we hear that amazing testimony. And can we just give the Lord some praise? Can we give him some worship? Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. What is he worthy of? What kind of praise is he worthy, Lord? We worship you. We praise you. You are worthy of a shout. You are worthy of a shout of praise. You are worthy of our adoration, God. You are worthy of our adoration. You are amazing, Jesus. You are amazing, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Lord, and I thank you that you are so here and you are so present. And when you just open our hearts to hear your voice, Jesus. Would you open our ears to hear? Would you open our minds to receive revelation? God, any distraction or confusion, we bind you and say, get out. We thank you, Jesus, that you are here and that you want to speak. So we welcome you. Amen. You know, when you all were cheering, you know what that sounds like to me? Freedom. That sounded like freedom. We have a lot to cheer about, and freedom has been a really huge word in my life, probably because I've needed a lot of it. Yeah. You know, when I came to Jesus, my life was not all together. It was pretty broken. I had lots of addictions. There's a lot of darkness, a lot of destructive patterns, and I really tried to fill that void with all kinds of just, you know, the things that the world offers that, you know, it promises a lot and delivers none, right? Delivers none of it. You know, things that really kind of steal, kill, and destroy. Like that was marked in my life. And when I met Jesus, I don't even know. He's just amazing. He set me free. Of addiction, he set me free of destructive patterns. Is Jesus amazing? Isn't Jesus amazing? Isn't he worthy? Isn't he amazing? Lord, we bless you. See, Jesus says something really, really powerful and profound. It's so powerful that we actually themed the conference around what he said. He said, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now this word indeed, it's kind of an interesting word. We don't use it often in everyday language. It doesn't just mean a little extra free. It literally means truly free, actually free, genuinely free. It's not just a little bit, it's a lot. And what he seems to imply here is that you're only truly free if the Son does it. That's kind of bold. That's kind of a bold statement. I love how Paul says it. He goes, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yeah, you know it. So here's the question that I've been wrestling with kind of a long time, and maybe some of you have too. If freedom is the goal, why does staying free sometimes feel so challenging? Why does those cycles keep coming up all the time? Or why does those patterns, maybe even thought patterns, start to just swirl in our minds all the time? Or why does the enemy seem so threatened when people actually start walking in freedom? You see, there's a battle that I did not expect when I started following Jesus. You know, I expected some pushback. You know, I expected some things like maybe temptation or spiritual opposition. But I guess what I didn't expect was the constant battle for my mind. I did not expect that. And it's not just random thoughts. It was a battle for what I believed to be true. Maybe you could even say a better way, it's a battle for our belief. And here's what I've learned kind of the hard way. What you believe has power, even if it's a lie. See, if the enemy can't keep you from Jesus, what he tries to do is shape what you believe about yourself, believe about God, believe about your future. And see, lies are so interesting because if you entertain them long enough, they don't just stay a thought, it starts to feel like the truth. You know, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I see a lot of nods. You know, it's thoughts that just don't pass through once. It's like they repeat, like there's an echo. They eventually even start to sound like your own voice. Sometimes we think that's us. You know, we'll say things like, I'll never change. This is just who I am. I'm always going to struggle with this. Why am I always going to struggle with this? You see, some of the strongest strongholds in our lives didn't start with an addiction or a behavior. They started with a lie that found a place to land in your life. Let me just tell you a story. When I was in my first couple years as a Christian, I had this crazy encounter, and I was kind of in that in-between state of sleep and awake. You ever in that in the early morning, you're not totally awake, you're like, I do not want to get up, right? That place. And I hear this really loud voice. You're never going to be free. It was just like that. It was so loud and jarring. I kind of jolted awake, but then all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. And I felt this heavy, heavy weight in my chest. And I'm like, what is going on? And I couldn't speak. I was trying to speak. And I was like, what is this? What is this? And all I could hear was those words, you're never going to be free, over and over. And I'm like, if I could just say the name of Jesus, this would stop. And so I tried to say his name. I was like, and I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it. And I just finally worked so hard. I was like, Jesus, you know, Jesus, just like Christian would sing. And it lifted immediately when I said the name of Jesus. You know, there's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And it was a crazy experience. And what I sensed after that was this fear that started to grip my life. And over the next several months, I started to spiral into these like bouts of depression. Like for the most part, I was fine with people around, but when I was alone, it went into a really dark place. It would just spiral and spiral and spiral, and it was so dark at times that I didn't even want to live anymore. And those demonic words just kept ringing in my head over and over again. You're never going to be free. They just felt so true. And as I was thinking about this story, this encounter, I'll be honest, I started to get mad. I started to get angry about it. I'm like, wow, the enemy was able to get that lie into my mind. He literally scared me into believing it. And because I began to entertain those thoughts, they started to become a reality. I started to experience what I believed, that I'm never going to be free. I don't know if you've ever had thoughts like that, that kind of bombard your mind over and over, almost like a broken record, just over, and it seems you can't get away from it. Sometimes it's so strong that we even declare things over ourselves. Well, I'm just an angry person. Oh, that's how my dad was. You know, sometimes those thoughts get so strong, we even don't like ourselves anymore. We start to hate ourselves, or Or I'm just always gonna be the one that doesn't matter. People always overlook. They don't see me. I wanna say, thank God for repentance. Thank God that repentance exists. It's the power of God to change the way you think. I love repentance. It's metanoia. It's not this bad thing. It's actually an amazing thing. God gives us power to do this. But as I thought about this issue and how it seems to like plague me and so many people that I know, I realized, you know, there is a better way to repent. Now, you can't say, hey, Lord, I'm really sorry for doing this or I'm sorry for doing that. I mean, that is repentance. Don't stop doing that. That's good. But there is a better way to let the Holy Spirit renew our minds, to change our direction, to be free indeed. Oh, okay, good. You guys are tracking. Truly free. So I want to talk about briefly, two ways that will even give us some tools to battle in our belief. The first way is the word, and the second way is our testimony. See, the Apostle Paul, he understood this so intimately that the battle is for our minds. You know, I think it's so sovereign of the Lord that Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he continually reinforces these truths like, we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Here's my favorite. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Don't you love that one? The old, I love this part, has passed away, the new has come. I love that. That's like, I love the tenses. It's like that is gone, this is new, this is now. We can live in that. Or that we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. I just love all these powerful truths. And so I could not get away from this scripture. I was like, Lord, I want to preach on something else. And 2 Corinthians 10, he just kept bombarding me with it. So this is what I'm going to share. This is Paul sharing to the Corinthian church. Corinthian church is awesome. He wrote 2 letters to them, and they were so gifted and so messy. I mean, messy, messy. We think our church is messy. It's way, way messier. Paul gives some great stuff there. So I'm just going to jump right into that scripture. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I'm timid in person and bold only when I write you far away. Well, I'm begging you now, so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. Boy, there's some attitude with Paul there, right? It's like, jeez, Paul. You know, it's interesting that Paul is dealing with these accusations and issues that he didn't really expect. See, you expect really harsh things from your enemies, right? You even build up some good defenses for enemies, but what about those closest to you, your fellow believers? I don't know if this ever happens to you. You know, sometimes the closest people to you have the harshest opinions. Now, I'm not talking about correction. This is a little bit different. I'm talking about harsh opinions. And boy, do they like to share them. I don't know how many emails you get, but. And so, or, you know, maybe you feel like you have to defend yourself in front of that person. See, here's what happens with those when they're fellow believers. See, sometimes their words can go so deep into the right, into the core of your belief system. And if we're not careful, that lie can take the place of a truth. It starts to lead us away from places of faith, into despair. Depression sometimes, even anxiety. And sometimes you can end up way over there just by something somebody said, but you took that thought and you kind of entertained it. And then the enemy is like, oh, you don't like that, do you? All right. Well, and then he starts molding it and shaping it into something else. See, Paul understands what's happening. And so here's the meat of what I want to talk about. It comes in verse 3. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. What he's saying is, don't get caught up in the wrong battle. You ever get caught up in the wrong battle? You know, one person says this and you say that and all of a sudden they're hurt and then you say something more and then they're even more hurt and then they hurt you and I'm like, wait a minute, how did we even get in this conversation? Like, it was like, you know, I don't understand it. It's like there's a parallel verse that Paul talks to. It's to the Ephesians. He goes, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We don't wage war like human, you know, humans do. We are human, but we don't wage war that way. See, this is not a person-to-person battle. I know sometimes it feels that way. I know that person in front of you, maybe some of you just had kind of that conversation, right? That person in front of you, they're like, they're my enemy. No, they're not. I don't like you. That might be true, but they're not your enemy. They're not your enemy. It's not against flesh and blood. We don't wage war the same way that humans do. Here's what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Look, we have got to stop doing things the way the world does them. We cannot do things the way the world does them, right? We don't wage war the same way. Our weapons are very different. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. I love this word, power. In Greek, it's this word, dunamis. And it's not just like an occasional word. It's used about 120 times in the New Testament. This is the same word, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That's one of our favorite verses, right? Do you guys like that verse? And what I love about this word, dunamis, is where we've derived our word, dynamite. Now, it doesn't mean the same thing, but it's a correlation. Why? Because it blows things up. See, God's power can blow things up. God's power can break things apart. See, this is what this word means. It means inherent power, which I love that, because that's the power to do what we can't do. It also means the power to perform miracles. Ooh, that sounded good. And it also means moral power, meaning to live rightly. It's the power to live rightly. So you could say we have divine dynamite, right? To destroy strongholds. Now this word stronghold, just gonna give you some definitions. This word that's used here is the word for a military fortress. I want you to listen to this. See, our thoughts have such a powerful influence over our life that they have ability to create strongholds, a mental fortress. Now, there are good strongholds that are built on the truth. You know, they're defensive. They keep the dark things out. But unfortunately, there are also bad strongholds. That they're mental fortresses that are built on a lie. And they build up these barriers in our mind. And they're so strong that they can keep the truth out. It's the truth that sets us free. So he gives us a little more in verse 5. He goes, well, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. If I were to summarize that, it's basically saying, I'm not gonna let any thought get to the core of who I am unless it's in complete surrender to Jesus. Where every part of your life says, He is Lord. If there is a part of your life that doesn't say, He is Lord, you might have a stronghold there. That's a good way to identify it. And say, what Paul is trying to show us here is so brilliant, is how strongholds are built. They're built by entertaining arguments and lofty opinions. You know, there's some really famous arguments in the Christian faith. If you go to Alpha, this is one of the big questions. If God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world? Right? Those are one of those lofty opinions or arguments. And there's not a real simple answer to that. It's very complex. Or maybe you might believe, like, God's allowing me to be sick so that he could teach me a lesson. Or so that I could help somebody else. That's why he struck me with this. That's one of those arguments. Or maybe a little more personal. Maybe it's something that someone has said over you. Maybe even your parents. I know, like for me, my dad said some pretty harsh things over my life. Now, I know he struggled with alcohol, he struggled with abuse, all of that kind of stuff, but I had a lot to dismantle. And what I did was I built a wall of lies, because the relationship I had with my father seemed to demonstrate the same relationship I had with the Heavenly Father, right? And what happens is those lofty opinions, those arguments, they kind of get raised up like a wall against the knowledge of God. Now, it's not the knowledge we know about God. It's God's knowledge. It's God's truth that they're raised up against. And so when we start to begin to have these thoughts, maybe these opinions, you know, maybe it's on your own. I mean, we're pretty good at coming up with some weird thoughts. Anybody? I mean, I'm good at that, unfortunately. Maybe it's from someone else. Now, there's also the devil himself. You know, he is the father of lies. So if you're believing a lie, I bet he had some kind of authoring in that place. So we believe those things, these thoughts, these lies, whatever they are, and they get out of alignment with what God thinks, and that starts to become a stronghold. It builds a wall that has the ability to keep the truth out. But Paul doesn't leave it there. So he tells us what to do. He says, take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. You know, take every thought captive. It's such an interesting word picture. You ever have thoughts like that? You know, God showed me this illustration, and I can't get it out of my head. You ever have, you know, thoughts that kind of look like a bouncy ball? You know, you have this thought, and it just starts to go, and you're like, oh, I gotta catch that. I gotta take that thought captive. I got it, right? It's good. I got that thought. Now, that's great. Take every thought captive, but I don't know about you, but I don't just have one thought at one time. I have lots of thoughts. I mean, sometimes my mind is all over the place, right? And so I have all these thoughts, and they just start coming at me. And then I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, I try to take, oh, I missed that one. I missed that one. I missed, like, what am I gonna do, right? See, this is what Paul says, that our weapons are not of the flesh. Don't start chasing after all of these thoughts. See, we don't wage war the same way that the world does, because our weapons are spiritual weapons, and they have divine dynamite power to destroy strongholds. Now, a lot of us know what these weapons are, right? In Ephesians, he talks about some of them. We have the breastplate of, woo, you know your Bible. Look at that. Helmet of, okay, that's good. How about the belt of? Okay, right, but there's one, those are all kind of defensive weapons. There's one offensive weapon. You guys know what it is? Yeah, which is what? See, you guys know your Bible. I love it. which is the word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. See, the word is God's truth revealed. It has divine power to break any stronghold. Divine power to break any stronghold if you're willing to surrender it to him. Be obedient is what he says. This is about obedience. See, this is what can happen. As you read the word of God, right? It has the ability to tether itself to your thoughts, right? And your thoughts try to get away, but then they hit the word of God. And then they try to get away, but then they hit the word of God, right? And they try to get away, but then they start bumping up to the word of God. But I tried to practice this the other way. I couldn't do it. So I'm just going to do this, right? Right? They start, right? You have this negative thought or you have this lie and it keeps bumping up against the truth, right? Being ready to punish any disobedience until your obedience is complete, right? Until your thought listens to the truth. See, you don't need to go after each thought. You just need to go after the word. And the word will go after your thoughts. You know, the word is so, you know what the Bible talks about the word? It's like it corrects and rebukes. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Do you know that one? It's a light upon my feet and a lamp on my path, or the other way around. I can't remember which way it goes. Here's one. Where is it? I'm like, where am I? Oh, yeah, that's it. There it is. Like a hammer that breaks the rock. That's the word of God. You know, this is exactly how Jesus defeated temptation over and over and over again. We got to listen, church. We got to watch what he did. You know, he's still alive. And that word, that story is still alive. See, whatever the devil threw at him, Jesus answered what? It is written. His word, that's technically true. See, some of us are so frustrated in your thoughts, in your cycles, in your burdens, because you don't know enough of his truth. You need to get into the word. You need to get into the word so much to meditate, to ruminate, to remain in it so much that it sets you free. Listen to what Jesus says. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Woo! You know what abide means? To remain, to meditate, to ruminate, right? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Here we go. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes. I had a mentor once tell me, you know, read the word until the word reads you. I've taken that like, the word, let the word pierce your heart. You know, back to my story. About 6 months into dealing with this, like depression, spiraling darkness, I went to a conference, just like one like this. And the person, it was actually Steve Nicholson, was sharing about depression. And for years, that he dealt with depression. And then he revealed, and I'm like sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, why am I here? You know, I start to tear up. I don't know if that ever happens to you. In a seat, you just start to tear up and you're like, okay, I'm gonna just squinch down a little bit so nobody sees me, right? And then he goes, you know, the depression wasn't just depression. The root of that depression was fear. And I just sank even more and I started to weep. And then he had a ministry time. And I don't know how I got up there, but I was up there. But I was the third row back. And, you know, I was just like, you know, and there's like three people there. And somehow Steve Nicholson's like, you, let me pray for you. You know, it's like, I'm like, come on. But it was the Lord. And you know what he read over me? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of dunamis and of love and a sound mind. And when he read that over me and started to pray over me, I felt this dark thing just lift off of me. And it was like amazing. And let me tell you, I've had to meditate on that scripture over and over because it's not like that was the last time I dealt with fear. But he didn't give us a spirit of fear. If you're dealing with fear of something, that is not from the Lord, right? He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. See, this is what Jesus paid a high price to give us. Divine dynamite. The power to destroy strongholds. I love what Revelation 12, 11 says. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Right? We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. What he did on the cross for us, what he took on himself so he could release power to destroy strongholds, and the word of their testimony. So now we're going to hear the second part from Amanda. Could you help me welcome Amanda Williams? This is like a 1-2 punch, and so go for it. Oh, you need a mic. Yep.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing tonight? More love, more power, 2026. Let's go. Yeah. Let's just take the moment to give the Lord some praise, because there's not too much praise that you can give the Lord. Come on. Give him the praise right now. He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. As we were worshiping, I felt the presence of the Lord so strongly. And what I heard the Father saying is that every single person in here has a testimony. You have walked through some trials and some tribulations, and you have seen the goodness of God. You have seen his holy power move. And so you're going to hear my story tonight. But what I want you to do is I want you to think of how his steadfast love endures forever. How he got you through when you thought that there was nothing you could do to get you through. Yes, Jesus. And maybe some of you don't know the Lord like that yet. But you will tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For the past decade, I was deeply immersed in witchcraft, although I wouldn't have called myself a witch at the time. I would have called myself a spiritual seeker, someone who saw beauty in the world that surrounds us and held deep reverence in my relationship with Mother Nature, whom I worshiped as God at the time. Growing up with a fractured relationship with my father and navigating the trauma of sexual molestation, I learned to numb the pain with drugs, sex, and alcohol far too young. That emptiness drove me into the world of New Age, hoping it'd bring freedom. You see, I was a sick person looking for a cure, and I had just stepped into a spiritual battlefield. I tried everything, everything but Jesus. I tried energy healing and chakra alignments, which felt good momentarily, but I always needed more. I had pockets full of crystals to balance my energy, yet I kept buying new ones. Yoga, astrology, sound healing, eventually plant medicine, psilocybin mushroom ceremonies to heal unresolved trauma. It brought breakthroughs at first, but I always needed more shrooms. The deeper I went into the occult, the stronger my chains became. What was once seeking turned into immense suffering. I started experiencing intense spiritual warfare. I saw demons everywhere. I saw them in my room. I saw them in my sessions. I saw them attached to people. I saw them attached to myself. I asked several practitioners how to feel safe during my sessions and to not encounter the demonic. That's the funny thing about witches, though. They're not going to know how to lead you out of demonic oppression. In the midst of this, I met a young man who loved Jesus more than anything. He started sharing the gospel with me, and over time, something in my heart shifted. I started having encounters with the one true living God, yet I was still in a lot of mixture, clinging on to my ways and not God's ways. There was one psilocybin mushroom ceremony in particular that led me to call out to the mighty name of Jesus. I was channeling a demonic entity. I didn't know it at the time. I know now. And I saw this entity attach itself to every person in the room. Later that night, this entity started tormenting me. It was saying things like, "Let me in, let me in." I was so afraid, I cried out to Jesus. I said, "Lord, save me." And in a moment, I felt him cast out that demon that was trying to possess me. In that moment, I knew that God was real and there is unmatched power in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There is unmatched power in his mighty, matchless, holy name. Over time, I let go of my sound healing practice. I burned all my New Age books, tarot cards, oracle cards. I got rid of my crystals, sage, and anything else tied to witchcraft. The altar of idol worship I'd built began crumbling. Our family lost homes, vehicles, businesses, a lot of money, so much money, and nearly all my friendships. Thank God I still have a few that are in this room today. Praise the Lord. And I gained some great ones too. Yet even in the losses, God's faithfulness shone through. We never went without shelter, and we always had enough to pay the bills. I started off 2025 with a 21-day fast, and I desperately prayed for God to send me to a church that operated in gifts of the Spirit, healing, and deliverance. He led me to the Vineyard the same week the More Love, More Power conference began. I saw my dear friend Daniel. Where's he at? I saw him right there, and I knew it was a sign. I knew it was a sign for the Lord. I felt a pull to go, but y'all, I didn't have any money to my name. It was hard to even come up with $20 at that time. I said, "Jesus, please make a way." And he did. I got to go all three nights. There were many miracles I could attest to, like the deeply prophetic and encouraging words spoken over my husband and I. Where is Pastor Tom and Jennifer? Raise your hands. Give them a clap, because that's what a power couple looks like, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Those words changed my life, my husband's life too. But there was one night in particular that changed my life forever. It was Thursday night, session 2, Absolute Surrender by Jay Pathak. The master has been scourging the vessel. After seemingly losing everything except for each other the past year, those words sang true to my soul. I realized my previous life was built on a lie, and God in all his goodness was removing the veil from my eyes so I could finally see him. I knew I needed to surrender deeper. I walked to the front of the room, right there. And this prayer changed my life. I said, "Jesus, how I've been living is not right, God. I want you to have it all. I surrender everything to you, Lord. I want to be your servant. I want to do your will for my life. God, change me and use me." What I saw next blew my mind. I saw people encountering the Lord in ways that I had never seen before. I saw Brian Blout say to a woman, "The fire of the Lord is upon her." She went flying across the room. Y'all, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. I'd never seen this stuff before. I've seen some weird stuff and some witchcraft, okay? But I had never seen this before. And for some reason, I said, "Lord, I think I want that to be me next." In that moment, I felt a woman's hand touch my head. And she said, "In the mighty name of God, your womb is healed." And I felt all that sexual trauma that had been tormenting me for years, that I lived in unforgiveness, that I didn't know how to have a healthy sexual relationship in my marriage. I felt it leave my body in a moment. I have to report that I was that girl screaming in church. It wasn't a cute, girly scream. It was a deep, horrific, demonic scream. But you know what? It's the sound of freedom, so praise God. I could barely get up off the floor after that. I just wept, and I was in so much gratitude and reverence to the Lord. What I had been searching for so many years, he had freed me from in just a moment. That's the mighty hand of God, y'all. That's his mighty hand. After that experience, I was changed forever. My attitude was changed. My spirit was lifted, and I was no longer bound by the chains of trauma and demonic oppression. The Lord broke strongholds I thought I could never get free from. He dismantled and destroyed every demonic altar that my previous life was built on as I built my new life on the rock of Jesus Christ. Yes, he healed the hole in my soul. He broke me free from feeling like the fatherless child. He broke me free from the drug and alcohol addiction. He broke me free from the shame. He broke me free from the guilt. He broke me free from the depression. He broke me free from the suicidal ideation. He broke me free from the sexual trauma. He broke me free. That's what our God does. He breaks you free. That's right. Glory to God. All glory to him. God redeemed every single part of my story. The man who shared the gospel with me became my husband. The first man to truly show me the love of God. With Jesus' help, he loved me back to life. I love you, baby. We have a home with a big backyard and two beautifully wild children to fill it with love, laughter, and play. The Lord led me into full-time ministry, and now I get to be part of one of the greatest conferences the Vineyard puts on. More love, more power, the very conference that changed my life forever. But best of all, y'all, best of all, I now have a heavenly father. I now have a heavenly father, a father's perfect love that pours into me every single day, that heals and restores and fills me. If there's anything you take away from my story tonight, let it be this. God used my brokenness to become my boldness. God forged me in the fire as he burned away anything that did not glorify him. And God, in all his goodness, saved me in the midst of suffering as I started to understand what truly seeking him meant. I know there's somebody who walked through that door tonight as desperate as I was last year for freedom. And I'm here to tell you this. Being a free spirit has a completely different meaning when you've been set free and delivered by Jesus Christ. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, give him your praise. I know somebody wants to get free tonight. I know things are breaking off right now in Jesus' name. Give him all the glory. Give him all the glory. I can't hear you. The Father needs to hear your praise. Praise him. Praise him. Get undignified in this house of God. Undignified. Let it all out. You have the victory, Jesus. You are a mighty God. There is nothing you can't do, Lord. There is nothing you can't do. There is nothing you can't do. You are the God of God. You are the Lord of Lords. And so, Lord, I just pray over this room, God, that there would be an increase of faith, God.
Would you all stand?
That you would encounter them.
Stand. Pray that over them. Pray that over them. Put out your hands. We're going to move into a ministry time if you didn't realize that. Amanda's got something burning, so just pray it out right now. Just receive, receive, and then we're gonna kind of move on to different things. But if we have a pad, that would be amazing.
Holy Spirit, move in this house. Lord, increase our faith. No matter what situation is, Lord, may we fall on our knees and give it to you at the altar, God. May we leave it all at the altar tonight, Jesus, holding nothing back. God, we give it to you. We lay it at your feet, God. We know that you are mightier, God. We know that you will break the yoke. In Jesus' name, God, we just pray for healing and restoration, Lord. Fill us in a mighty way, God. Encounter us in ways that we have never seen before, Lord. Lord, we just pray for prophecy to fill over this room, God. Lord, we know that you are calling us to something greater. And Lord, please deliver us not only from demons, but from ourselves, God. We need to get out of the way, God. We need to be free because we can't be who you've made us to be unless we are free. So Jesus, free us tonight. In Jesus' mighty, matchless, holy name.
Thank you, Lord.